Travis McCloud. Tonight on the show, I have a special guest host, my lovely wife, Stephanie, who's going to be interviewing me. So hopefully you guys will enjoy that. I know I'm looking forward to being the guest on the show for a change. And without any further ado, let's get on with it. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I thought it would be cool if your legions of listeners could kind of learn a little bit more about you. So let's start off with a pretty basic question. Why did you decide to start a podcast?
Well, I've always kind of been a fan of talk radio, especially as I've gotten older. I used to listen to music a lot in my car, but now it's pretty much all just talk radio. And I used to just try to find whatever was on in whatever city I was in, like a morning show or whatever. But it's not like podcasting is new, but I've only just recently started listening to podcasts. And for those of you who don't know, or I guess most of you probably do know since you're listening to this podcast, but podcasting is pretty much like radio, except it's on demand. So you can download it and listen to it whenever you want, as opposed to having to catch it live. And so I've always kind of been a fan of that, and I thought that would be fun to try. And especially recently, I've been kind of getting into podcasts. A lot of celebrities that I am a fan of have started their own podcasts, like Tom Green and Steve Austin. And they weren't really traditionally known for being like a radio host, but I feel like they've done a pretty good job of transitioning over, and I thought it would be fun for me to kind of give that a try, and it didn't look like it would be that hard to start up. Also, you know, with our son and everything, it's not easy for me to go out and do something. So this was something that was fun and creative that I could do from home, and I thought I'd give it a try and see where it went. And I'm still kind of in the beginning and learning everything, but I'm having fun with it, and it seems like it's going pretty well so far.
Cool. On not being able to go anywhere with the kid. I thought I would ask you some, like, random questions and kind of see what answers you had for those questions.
Okay.
So, first question, what is your favorite song of yours that you have written?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if I have a favorite, per se. I mean, I guess, you know, every song, I mean, and there's songs that I think are better than others, you know, but I don't know if I have one that's like my favorite out of all of them. I think songs are just kind of, you know, it's whatever, a lot of the times it's whatever you happen to be going through at the time, and you, you know, sort of write it down and make something out of it. And I don't know. I mean, it would probably be easier to answer, like, if you said, you know, like, what's your favorite song on a certain album or something, I guess. Let me think about it. So, I guess on McCloud, my favorite song on that record would probably be... And, like, Visions of Regret is obviously, like, probably the most well-received. And
that's the fan favorite.
Yeah, and I mean, I like it. I don't dislike that song. Ass was a lot of fun to, it was just kind of like a spontaneous jam that ended up
I like that Standing in the Rain song. I think that's cute.
Yeah, that's actually the first song I ever wrote in my life. That was the first record I did, it was kind of a compilation of stuff. I didn't record it all or write it all at the same time. It was like when I was very first starting out writing and recording music, and I would write a few songs here, record a few songs there, and before I knew it, I had 10 or 11 songs, and I said, wow, this is enough for a whole record. So I just put them all together and made a record. So Standing in the Rain was actually from a demo tape that I made with my sister in 1995 or 96, and we were going by the name of Jagged Edge at the time, and some other people started a band called Jagged Edge and had a lot more success than we did. So I guess they got to run with it. But yeah, it's, you know, that was a good one. See, Tales from Tourmaline, my favorite on that. I kind of like that record because it's sort of like, I think the beginning of it's kind of a little dark, and then it hits a certain point. Even you can even tell in the titles, like, you know, up into a certain point, and then there's like in the middle of the album, there's a song called No More Pain, and then the one after that is Aftermath, and then it's sort of like aftermath on the song or on the album. It's sort of like, then there's like new beginnings and stuff, and it sort of follows a kind of an arc. Which I didn't like set out for it to be that way, but it just kind of happened.
Is that the album with all the songs about Allison?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's, I called it an album Songs About Allison, so I don't know what it's really called.
Yeah. Never Say Die. I mean, I think I have several favorites. Some of the ones I liked doing on that one was, like, You Left Behind the Key was fun to do because I got to, I used the keyboard on that song, and I'm not really a piano or a keyboard player, although I've always wanted to be. But I managed to kind of sit down and write that song because I was inspired to write that because of Ben Queller, who at the time had just released his first, at least his first big solo album, and he had a lot of piano music on it. And at the time, I didn't realize this, but he's actually a pretty accomplished piano player. But I only knew him from Radish, where he played guitar. So I was like, oh, well, you know, he's not really a piano player either, and look what he's done. Maybe I can do something. And I did, but it's nowhere near as good as him. But, you know, I thought that was pretty fun to do. Just, I like to do that, to try to challenge myself and branch out every once in a while. Let's see, what else? What's after that? Wonderful World of Multi-Track Recording. I don't know what would my favorite would be on that one. I think We'll Always Have the Magic is a good song on there. And that was another one, like, I put harmonica in there, and I was proud of that because I'm not really a harmonica player, but I kind of managed to throw a little harmonica solo together, and it worked out pretty well. And then after that, I think it's Broken Hearted and the Angel's Wings. I don't know if I just have one favorite from that album, but let me think. Like, what's? I think there's a few that I thought were pretty fun to do. I don't know.
So, how would you say your style has like evolved over time? Because I think all of your records are very different, especially like the older ones are so much. Other than the sound, obviously the quality changed, right. But they're different, and I think like the songs you write now are very different than the songs you wrote when you were 18, than the songs you wrote when you were 12. So what would you say, I guess, your style is now, or what you've evolved into over time?
Well, I think maybe like before, I might have tried to write a certain kind of song, or be like, I set out to make it sound a certain way, and I think now it's, just kind of like, I don't really try to focus on a certain style, it's just whatever I feel like, whatever kind of mood I'm in when I'm writing or whatever, it's like whatever comes out is that. But, you know, like you said, it's kind of just, even like not related to music, it's just life in general, like people change, you have different experiences, you grow as a person, and it's like, I've enjoyed everything that I've written, that I've done, but, you know, you're not really the same person at 29 as you are at 14, so you're not going to write the same kind of song, like, you know, when you're 14, or like, for example, you might write something similar, like when I wrote Visions of Regret, I was like 11 years old, and a lot of people, even at the time, especially when I was like 11 and playing it, people were like, oh, you actually wrote that? And I was like, yeah, but I mean, when I was 11 years old, obviously I wasn't like heartbroken over some woman, you know, I was just like, just learning how to play guitar, and I was like, oh, well, you know, a lot of the music that I've listened to has this theme to it, so I'm going to write a song about like a person that's sad about an ended relationship. But, you know, now if I was going to write that song, like, I have actually had that experience of having like a relationship go bad, and I could actually write a like a truthful song about that versus just like speculation. And, you know, another thing about that song is I think a lot of the reason that it is so well or sounds so good on the record is because of the violin and the mandolin that my uncle put on it, because I was at his house recording it, and he just had all of these different Celtic type instruments in his studio, and I just said, why don't you play the violin on this? Hey, what's that thing? Mandolin? Cool, put that on there. And it just, I think it really brings the song to life. So, anyway, I kind of trailed off there, but...
okay, so the next question I have for you is, who would you say your, like, top musical influences are? I know the answer, I think, but I don't think everybody else does.
Okay, I would pick three all-time. The Beatles, number one, above everybody.
Right.
And then I think tied, maybe it's not even first, second, third, I think tied for second is Green Day and Oasis.
Really? See, I would have thought that Limp Bizkit was going to be in there.
Well, I am a very big fan of Limp Bizkit.
That is interesting. But, okay, so I was wrong.
But I can't really say, I mean, I can say that they've influenced me, but... not in the same kind of way. Like, I don't... It's a weird kind of thing. It's one of those things that, like, you can be a really big fan of something, but as a musician, like...
it's not your style.
Right. Like, I don't think I could sit down and be like, I'm going to write a song that sounds like Limp Bizkit. Or, like, for example, like, I really like Pantera a lot, which...
oh, God.
Which, if you know me or you listen to my music, you probably wouldn't think, like, that guy likes Pantera, clearly. But, you know, and like, I wouldn't sit down and be like, I'm going to write a Dimebag Darrell solo right now because, well, number one, because I'm not as talented as him. But number two, because it's just, it's not something that I would like to write, but I like to listen to it. It's just music in general. It just kind of reminds you of, you know, what you were doing in that point in your life when you started listening to it. Like, I remember at the time, one of my good friends, Chris, was really into Pantera and Metallica and stuff. And, you know, I was really into, like, the Beatles and Green Day and Oasis. And I still am, but, you know... he was like, oh, you should listen to this heavy music. And I, like, a lot of it I didn't like, but, you know, I listened to that and I thought it had a pretty good sound. So I bought their live album, and then I bought a few more of their albums. I'm like, this is pretty good stuff, you know, but it's not like it was an influence for me to write anything that sounded like it.
I call that music migraine makers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Pantera.
Okay, so next question. This is probably it'll be a strange question for you, but greatest boy band. Greatest. What do you think?
Well, they haven't released a Justin Timberlake where he does all of this stuff yet. Like, I mean, he has his own record, but I mean... like,
okay, for those of you that don't know, my husband has a serious man crush on Justin Timberlake, and it kind of creeps me out. I'm not gonna lie.
He's the greatest of all time, just saying.
No, for real. Like, if you had to choose, like, the best boy band, who would
ever?
You choose? Yeah.
Ever, like, in the history of music, ever?
No, let's limit it to, like, the 90s boy bands.
Okay, so what are the choices? NSYNC? Backstreet Boys?
Yeah.
Does New Kids count for that? Were they in the? They were kind of in the early 90s.
I would say they were more 80s. But if you want to include them in the list, like, you can.
Man,
there's 98 Degrees. There's LFO. There's a lot.
Yeah, I feel like the 90s for boy bands was pretty much just NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. I mean, like, LFO and 98 Degrees would pop up every once in a while.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
We have a song, too. And people would be like, yeah, okay, cool.
Well, I know what the correct answer to the question is. I'm asking you, who do you think?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm not really into that music a lot. I think both of them have some okay songs. But, I mean, I think Backstreet Boys... were on the scene first, if I remember correctly.
They were on the scene here first, but that doesn't necessarily mean they were on the scene.
Well,
first.
I mean, I grew up here, so I don't, you know, it's not like I was kicking it in Germany, like, das in sync! Yeah! So, I mean, I have to go. Yeah, I have to go by my own personal experience.
Okay, so is your answer Backstreet Boys?
I don't know. Let me think. I guess I'll just go with NSYNC.
Good answer.
They have Justin Timberlake. So,
yes, I mean, exactly. And they also have JC.
If you just want to go objectively from just success, I mean, both of them as bands have been pretty successful, but, you know, I mean, Justin Timberlake, he's been around since them, but, you know, and NSYNC broke up like 11 years ago.
Longer
than 11 years ago. And, you know, at the time I was kind of like, okay, good, they're breaking up, like, you'll never hear about these guys again. But I mean, he's still around. It's like more than 11 years later and he's still like, I mean, I know I joke around a lot about how he's like, you know, the greatest or whatever, but I mean, he's still around after like over 11 years. Like, I mean, that's something, you know, like. So, I mean, it's like, no offense to anybody else, not like they're listening, but,
shout out to JC.
You don't see like Nick Carter having the same sort of success as Justin Timberlake or like anybody else in that band, you know.
That's because, well, I won't even go into it. Okay, so good answer, NSYNC. For those of you that don't know, that is the correct answer. So, okay, just on the fun side, tell your listeners the top five coolest things you've done in your life.
Like, in general, or, like, related to music, or what?
Like, in your life. The coolest things you've done in your life. Five cool things.
So, like, ever, not just,
like, ever.
Not just music, or...
No, like, ever.
Okay, well, I got married, I had a son.
Yeah. Those are pretty cool.
What else have I done that's been pretty cool? Well, I graduated from high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just say graduated is one thing, because now I have two left I can talk about.
Okay. Graduated from UF. That's a pretty big deal. It's not an easy school.
Yeah, I'm glad I did that, too, because that was something I always wanted to do. And, you know, they can't take it away from you, and it's something I can kind of cross off my list, you know. Before I die. You know, I mean, I'm proud of what I've done with my music, you know, and not to sound too conceited. But I think, you know, if you sort of look at it from, like, especially if anybody's listening that has been keeping up with this series the whole time, like I said when I was talking to Jay, you know, the way that I started playing music was I just kind of started playing guitar to try to learn a chord or two to impress my uncle. And if you look at it that way of like, oh, I'll just see how this goes, to like, now I have written and recorded 5 CDs and I've played shows and I've sold records. I haven't sold like a ton of records, but you know, just the fact that it's like, if you look at it from the fact of like, you know, there was a point in my life where I didn't have any idea how to play a guitar, and now I feel really comfortable playing a guitar. And you know, even if you just sell one record, I'm like, wow, that's somebody thought I was good enough to like pay money to hear my music. Like, that's pretty cool to me. I started this podcast. I guess so. We'll go with married, had kid, graduated, creative endeavors, however you want to do that, music, podcasting, hopefully music videos soon. I'm working on it. Number five, let's see. I don't know. What's number five?
New York was pretty cool.
Yeah, I went to New York City a few times. That was fun. Some of the traveling I've done. Sure, we'll throw that in there.
Okay. All right. Awesome. What do you want your son to be when he grows up?
I just want him to be whatever he wants to be. I mean, I hope that, you know, whatever it is not illegal or immoral.
It won't be.
You know, I hope that he does good with his life, and you know, I want to support him in what he chooses to do. But I don't have any kind of preconceived notions for him. I'm not going to be one of those, like, you have to be a quarterback, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. It's just, you know, just be a good person and, you know, live your life and don't, you know, don't be a dick, I guess.
Don't be a dick. Parenting moments with Travis.
Be bad.
Okay. That's a good answer. Let's see. I'm drawing a blank here. I don't know. What should we talk about now?
I don't know. Anything we want. It's our show.
Do you want to ask me a question?
Sure. So when you were in, okay, well, let me just kind of set the, I guess, a scene for people, because I guess, you know, like, some people probably aren't familiar with the history of everything. Stephanie and I got together in high school at the, it was both of our senior years, but we went to different high schools and different.
Yes, because if we'd gone to the same high school, we would not be together because we rolled with very different crowds.
Right. We went to, like, we didn't know each other until, like, a few months before graduation. And like she said, we were, you know, we had different kinds of circles that we hung out with. Well, I don't know. I've kind of always just hung out with everybody, honestly, but.
Okay, well, I'll say it. I was a bitch, and I would not have hung out with you at all.
But anyway, like, in high school, she was kind of one of the popular hot girls, and I'm not going to say that I was not popular, but I wasn't. I think I was kind of in the middle. Like, I wasn't super popular. I wasn't unpopular. I was just kind of, like, right in the middle, kind of friends with everybody. Like, be nice to me, I'll be nice to you kind of thing. So what I was going to say was, now that we've put that out there, when you were growing up as a little girl and a young woman, did you envision your adult life to be like it is now, or like that you would end up with somebody like me, or that you would even want to be with somebody like me?
When I was a little girl, from the time I was very, very small, I don't know, 3, 2, from the time I could talk probably, my grandfather called me Stephanie Starr because I was a freaking ham, and I would sing, and I wanted everybody's attention to be on me at all times, and I don't think I'm that different now, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But I think I always thought that I would be famous.
Uh-huh.
And,
see, I kind of wish, like, you would have tried to pursue a little more, because I know, like, when we first got together, you had told me all of that, and I was like, well, you know, I'm a musician, and not that I was or am a super crazy successful musician, but, I was like, you know, why don't you try to record a demo, or, you know, try and go out and sing at a bar or somewhere, get out there and do something, you know, and I don't know. Like,
I think that maybe I should have then, but it's too late now. I mean, that ship has sailed. It's like, you know, at the time it was very like Britney and Christina and Jessica Simpson. And, I don't know, there were like 50 billion of them at that point. And I think the market at that point was probably really good for someone like me to become a pop star.
Right.
But it's just, I mean, I'm 29 years old now. Like,
yeah, but, you know, 29 is not like, it's not like we're old. I mean, we're not like super young either.
I think it is,
but,
in that world. Like, I think it's, plus, like, you know, life takes you a different direction, and I have a career and a family, and, you know.
But, I mean, you could still, if you wanted to, couldn't you still record? Like, you could record a demo if, like, I mean, we're recording a radio show right now, so we have the equipment,
but,
you know.
Who wants to hear it? I don't know.
Who wants to hear this show? You never know. I mean, maybe no one will listen to it, but you don't do it with the expectation that other people are going to listen to it. You just do it because you want to do it, and if other people like it, then great, you know. I mean, it's not like you want to exclude people from it, but you don't want to let that possibility keep you from doing it either, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
or at least that from my perspective anyway. Like,
I guess you're right.
That's another thing Jay and I talked about on the first episode, which if you haven't heard it, you can go ahead and hear that if you subscribe on iTunes or Zune, which you can find all of the information for that on utrshow.com. And while you're there, you can also listen to the most current episode by clicking on the Listen to the Show tab, which will have all the subscription information as well as a player embedded in the site to where you can always hear the most current episode of this show. Just FYI, people.
And coincidentally, his guest on the last episode, Stephanie Walsh, actually introduced us.
That's right.
Almost 12 years ago. And, yeah, so we've been together ever since. She married us when we got married in 2009. And, yeah, so what's up, Stephanie Walsh? Let's see if you're listening to this.
Host of Side B Radio on live365.com.
Stephanie, if you actually listen to this, I want you to tweet at us that you listened to this. We'll know.
We'll know. We'll see. Let's give her like a secret code or something to tweet so we know she heard it.
Oompa Loompa.
Yeah. Tweet Oompa Loompa. Hashtag Oompa Loompa. So we know.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So ask me another question.
So you didn't really answer the first one. You just said that your grandpa said you were going to be a star.
I did. I said that I thought that I was going to be famous and that life took me in a different direction.
Right. So then you was the answer yes or no that you would end up with somebody like me? Like would you have even considered it at that point in your life, or would you just be like, "Oh, ew, he's a rocker and he doesn't like NSYNC or something?" Or like,
no, I kind of had this like thing for rock guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought your Red Yankees Limp Bizkit-ness was very hot.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm very happy that I ended up with you. I mean, I think that I'm with him, who I'm supposed to be with. Maybe in another life I was supposed to be a pop star. Maybe in another life you were supposed to be a rock star. I don't know.
Maybe in this life. You never know.
Maybe in this life.
I mean, you never know. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you just don't know.
So was your question, was I supposed to end up with you?
No, not were you supposed to. Just, you know, is it what you would have thought? Or did you think, like, I'm going to marry JC?
Oh, Shazay, I thought I was going to marry JC. Let's not. Like, I thought I was going to marry. For real. I thought, I mean.
So you didn't think at all, like, there is no hope for, like, regular dudes, just, he's it.
No. but I didn't know you, so.
So that means I beat the odds, then.
You did, yeah. Because, honestly, I mean, I had our whole wedding planned out. I knew the colors.
Well, take that, JC.
And I had named our children, so.
Because you know he's totally listening to this show, too.
Exactly, so. And he's, you know.
Hey, JC Shazay, if you're listening to this show, why don't you tweet us something, too? Like, hashtag congratulations, Travis.
You win.
Hashtag hi Justin.
Which is funny now. I'm like, I don't know that he's my favorite anymore.
I think we should. I'm going to just start incorporating that into the show. I'm just going to do random shout outs to people and see if they tweet at me. Oh, which by the way, you might need to know my Twitter address if you're going to do that. At UT. No, wait, that's not it. Hold on. At under the radar PC. That's the Twitter handle. I have so many different things for the show, I get confused. But that's Twitter.
It's all his secret identities.
Facebook
keep them straight.
Is facebook.com/undertheradar with Travis McLeod. Twitter is at undertheradarPC. You can send questions or comments to undertheradarPC@gmail.com. You can visit the website at utrshow.com. I think that's about all the stuff I have. Which, by the way, I made it utrshow.com, so it's very short and easy to remember. So if you don't remember any of that other stuff, utrshow.com, all of that stuff I just said is on there and easy to find. So.
Okay, so I have a question for you then.
All right.
Let's, best part of being a parent, worst part of being a parent?
Okay, well, I mean, obviously the best part is that I love Colin. Colin is great. He's like the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. You know, he's a very cute kid. Like, that's
super cute. It's like ridiculous.
It's he has really great moments where you can sit down and you can watch Sesame Street with him, and you can see him really enjoy it, and you can teach him stuff, and everything's great. And you know, I really enjoy being able to be a part of his life that way. You know, and I like being able to, you know, when we take him on trips and show him new stuff and all that, and sort of see, you sort of get to see life again through somebody else's perspective. And I like that. It's, you know, something that is really old to you and old news is brand new to him, and it's really cool. But you know, at the same time, you know, it's a lot of work, as I'm sure anybody out there that has children knows. It's a lot of work, and we only have ones. I mean, there's people out there that have more than we have. It's, you know, so, but it's a lot of work. You know, not crazy about changing diapers, but goes along with it.
You're so good at it.
Right now, he's, as like you obviously know, he's at the point where he's just, he has crazy mood swings for no reason.
Okay, so the listeners probably need to know, he's 2.5-year-old boy. So
that's kind of crazy. Like, one minute he's all happy, and the next minute he's just throwing a fit.
Yeah.
And he just throws fits over the craziest things. Like, he'll scream and thrash and bang his head because he wants a pacifier that's in his mouth hand. Or in his hand.
Yeah.
Or he wants to watch a movie that we're already watching. And you're just like, what is wrong with you? Like, and a lot of times when I'm at home, like, I'm trying to do other things, you know, like, I'll get up in the morning and make sure that he's, you know, been changed and, you know, he's got his, you know, snack or juice or whatever it is that he wants, and I'll put on, you know, Mickey Mouse or something, and I'm trying to do my homework, and then I can't concentrate on it because he's screaming and crying over something stupid like that, and you're just like, dude, if you're going to scream and cry, that's fine, but, like, have a reason for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's, you know, it's like he's two, so he doesn't have logic like that. He's two. But, you know, like, it sucks because, like, you can't do anything, you know? Which is why we're recording this show at 10 o'clock at night, because we had to wait for him to go to sleep, you know?
BT Dubs, I've been up since 5. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically when you become old like us, you know, late 20s, and you have kids, 10 o'clock is late. Especially our kid. I think for me, the hardest thing about Colin, like, even worse than the temper tantrums and the biting and the clawing and all that stuff, is that he doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my job requires me to be on, like, the whole time I'm there.
Right.
And it's really hard to do that when I've been up all night. Colin has never slept. I don't think he ever will. But once he does, when he's a teenager, I'm going to go into his room every 2 hours. I need juice right now. Give me juice. Yeah. I need my Pepsi. Give me my Pepsi. I'm going to do it.
Well, he'll have an idea what we were going through, I guess.
Yeah. I think one of the coolest things is, yeah, like you said, seeing things through his eyes. Like, we took him to Disney World a couple weeks ago, and we were on Spaceship Earth in Epcot, and he just kept looking at us going, this is fun, this is fun, this is fun. And that just, you know, makes you feel really good because you feel like you're doing something right.
Yeah, and then, also for those of you who are new to us, we've been going to Disney a lot forever, like, since...
That's like our thing.
Yeah, since we first got together, and there was a point where we probably went every weekend or every other weekend for a while. So we've seen and done pretty much everything you can do there, like, just ran it into the ground. So to be able to actually see that as something new is awesome, you know?
Yeah. We live 2 hours away, so it's close, and we spent a lot of time there, especially like in the early years of our dating when we could just go every single weekend.
Right.
You know, it's harder now with him. And then last weekend we took him to Mickey's Halloween party, and he threw fit after fit, so that was super fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when you see him and he'll be like, I want to go to Disney World. I want to see Mickey Mouse and Goofy. And, you know, it's just really cool to see that. And he's so smart. Like, he's so smart.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher and I know smart. And that kid is smart.
Thank you, Sesame Street and Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
I mean, he, like, when he, I'm not even sure if he was two yet when he did it. Maybe he was two. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, he would just start pointing at, that's an octagon. That's a red octagon. An octagon. Eight sides.
Yeah.
Excuse me? I seriously know seven-year-olds that don't know what an octagon is.
Yeah. Well, and then it's one of those things, like, he watches videos and TV a lot, but a lot of people are like, oh, you shouldn't let your kid watch TV. And I don't agree with that. I think it's not, is your kid watching TV? It's what are they watching on TV? Because he watches Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and Sesame Street the most. And look what he can do. He knows he can count to like 20. He knows shapes. He knows colors. You know, and it, you know, like if he's just watching, you know, just garbage on TV, like he's not going to know that. But he's watching educational stuff. Now, not that you should just have your kid in front of a TV 24/7, but if they are going to watch videos and TV, like make sure it's educational. You know. Which I think we've done, and it's paying off.
So. And most of the time, he's not just... He wants it on. Like, if you try to put something else on, like the news, or you want to watch something on TV, he will throw a fit, because he's not even watching it. And most... You know, he could be in a different room, or whatever, but he knows if you turn it off, and he just wants it on, and he can... I mean, now he's getting to the point where he's singing every single song, and he knows every word, and... it's interesting.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, well, I think I don't have any more questions. I don't know if you have questions for me at this point, but I'm good.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know if we should just talk just for the sake of talking, but
okay.
I don't know. How did you like your first appearance on the show?
It was fun. I think...
is it something you would like to do again, maybe on a regular basis? Or?
Yeah, totally. I am a, you guys probably, well, obviously you don't know this about me, but Travis will tell you, I'm extremely, like, organized and a little OCD, and not having a list of questions in front of me and kind of just winging it, like, that is not me, and I don't really like that.
Well, so, it's a first attempt, so.
I think in the future, I would definitely, like, want to be prepared as to what I was going to say, just because for me in my brain, like, I need a list and I need to check that list off, because that's how I roll.
Alright, well, I enjoyed it. I guess to all of you people listening out there, if you think it's a good idea for us to, you know, probably have this as a regular feature of the show, why don't you throw some feedback our way. As, like I said before, utrshow.com, our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our email address, which you can find all of that on utrshow.com and the contact page. Let us know.
And we can, you know, like, have a theme or talk more, like, about something specific, because we have a lot of stories we could tell. We've been together a long time.
Yeah. I'm planning on, you know, I think this would be fun to have as a regular feature of the show. Some other things I have planned, obviously, I'm going to keep doing interviews with, you know, I mean, mostly so far it's been my friends, but I have a list of other people I would like to interview, although I don't know if it's going to happen because they're kind of a little bit bigger in the fame level, but
we should keep some surprises, I think.
I'll give it a shot and keep interviewing people, and we'll see how it goes. I think I'm probably going to do a few more shows that are about me, to be selfish, I guess, but I'll probably showcase some of the new stuff I'm working on. And
yeah, I think you should play some music. Can you, like, put that in places?
Absolutely. I can put it in live. I don't even have to edit it in later.
Look at that.
Yeah, so.
Technology.
So I think I'm going to showcase some of the new stuff I'm working on and, you know, just put it out there. So
the new stuff is really good. Like, it's so good.
Like, if you've been listening to the show, the theme song of this show is one of my new songs. It's called Taking the Journey. I thought it was fitting because this was something that I was, you know, I wanted to create it, but you know, you sort of get those fears with anything like this when you're kind of putting yourself out there, and it's like, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? And it's like, well, that's kind of the point of that song, is like, well, you know, there might be some negative aspects of it, but I'm doing it anyway. And I thought that was a good fit for this show, and I didn't have to get anybody's permission to use it because it's already my song, so I did it.
Well, I would like to thank Travis McLeod for allowing me to interview him tonight. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. I'd like to thank Stephanie McLeod for coming on the show and being hot. I like having hot women in my studio.
You're funny.
My studio is my...
Your studio.
My living room.
Our living room.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, like I said, thanks for listening. Don't forget to kind of spread the word around if you enjoy what you're hearing. You can subscribe on iTunes or on any podcasting app that you use to listen to podcasts. You can hear the latest episode always at utrshow.com. And that has all of our contact information and ways to listen to the show and everything. So if you don't remember any of that info, just utrshow.com has everything you need to know about this show and what we're doing. So go ahead and throw some feedback our way, and hope you guys are enjoying this, and I'm going to keep doing it. So we'll see you later.
Bye.